Okay, welcome back to the New Nine podcast and YouTube channel. I'm joined by a wicked guest, someone that I met here at Country Hills on the golf course, Mr. Jeff Snyder. Jeff has been known as a big-time lacrosse player and kind of a rough guy in the rink.
Sure.
And you're still involved in lacrosse. Now you play a lot of golf. So thank you very much for joining the New Nine podcast.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You played in the National Lacrosse League for close to 8 years. Is that how long you were in there?
I played for nine.
Okay.
Nine seasons in the NLL and then nine seasons in the MLL and then four tournaments with Team Canada.
You're from Calgary originally?
Yeah, that's correct.
So you got to play for the Roughnecks. What was it like playing for your hometown team?
Awesome. It's always a dream come true. It's a goal, right? So I love playing in Philadelphia. It was sad to go. I really fit well in that city. It was just my style of play and you know, my personality was great for the fans there. I really enjoyed it. And then getting traded to Calgary, I remember Brad Bannister picking up the phone and giving me a call and telling me that he traded for me. And he was always kind of joking about trading for me. And I just kind of laughed. And he's like, no, we're serious. And I was like, oh, all right, no way. Here we go. So it was an honor to play here. And had some options, I think, at the end of my career, but preferred to retire as a Calgarian here in Calgary. That's kind of the way it went.
When I look you up on YouTube, there's more fighting videos than there is scoring videos. Was that a role that you embraced, or were you known previously before as kind of a rough guy?
Yeah, I took a lot of pride in kind of doing everything sort of well. Fighting obviously got a lot of attention, and I got very good at it. But it was one of those things that I think just played. It was more of a tool for me than anything else, and you kind of fall into that sort of. I was sort of the evil pro wrestler kind of character, very different on the floor than I am off. For me, it was more just kind of being a Swiss Army knife. I liked scoring. I liked setting up plays. I liked playing defense. I liked penalty killing. I liked facing off. I just kind of did kind of everything. And fighting was just more of a component of that. So it was more about being an all-around player than it was, just sort of dropping the gloves.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You currently hold the fastest goal scored off of a face-off in the NLL.
I think it's fastest goal to start a game.
Okay.
Which is 5 seconds in. So had one of those in Philly and had another one. I think the two are mine. So, that was kind of my thing is every time I was out there at a face-off circle, I was trying to go to the net at all times. So, whether it was the start of the game or the end of the game, that's what I was doing.
Did your career go kind of the way you had hoped for, or what were your expectations?
That's a great question. I think every pro athlete sort of thinks that they're going to like ride out on, in this chariot out of the stadium and to a standing ovation and have this amazing, round of applause. I think the way the Sedins went out, I don't know if anybody remembers watching that game. I think it was last year. They go out, I think they have a goal to assist, they contribute, it's their last game in Vancouver, they wave to the crowd, they get the standing ovation, and it doesn't go like that. So, I was pissed. I didn't want to retire, and I got into a bit of a contract, sort of dispute, and it was one of those things where it was like, hey, do you stay and try and play somewhere else, or do you hang them up in Calgary? And ultimately, it was the best decision. It was great for our business, and I'm really proud to still be involved with the team. And it's always hard, saying goodbye, and you have sort of an expectation of how you're going to go out. But the Roughnecks were incredibly classy. Obviously, when it's your time, it's your time, they treated me very well, and still to this day continue to treat me well, and I'm really proud to be a part of the team. So, it doesn't go the way that you want it to go.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, when cooler heads prevail, I think it's just really important to look back on your career and appreciate that you had time to play. Very few people get to do it, and I was honored just to be a part of it for the period of time that I was.
Well, now you're still involved in the lacrosse community, and you're giving back to guys that are up and coming. Tell me a little bit about Elevate Lacrosse.
Yeah, we started it in 2007. It was just a single day camp here in Calgary, and then did that again the following year, and then after that we sort of started to expand in some other different directions with programming and teams, and now it's become the only fully vertically integrated lacrosse company really in, I guess you could say the world, but in North America, where it's primarily played. And from the time that you touch a lacrosse stick to the time that you are involved as a professional player, we've got guys that are getting their fifth year NCAA, going into their fifth year of their NCAA that's been granted to them now due to COVID, and they're back training with us. From top to bottom, from start to finish, you can be involved with the program. And then we've got guys that came through our program, like Dan Taylor, that's a Roughneck now, who's back working with us coaching, and that's his full-time gig. So, it's a really cool opportunity to introduce the game, to grow the game here in Calgary. you know, we've got a classroom lacrosse program that's getting kids going. I think this year our numbers are going to be a little bit smaller, but the year before we saw over 33,000 kids, which was which was really cool. So it's all about growing the sport. For us, I think we're kind of at the top of the totem pole here in terms of you know, being in the industry. We've kind of created one a little bit, and for us it's about growing the pie now and making sure that we get more kids playing, more kids loving the game, and more kids staying in the game. There's a lot of opportunity, and you know, so we're sort of on the front lines of making sure that kids are getting into the sport, kids are staying in the sport, and then we're developing to the point where they can go do something with it, whether it's NCAA or Division I, Division II, Division III, or playing university ball in Canada.
That's awesome. Good for you guys for giving back to the community, because you have so many years of experience, and you, I'm sure you learned from a lot of lessons and mistakes maybe that you made previously, that now these kids can obviously pick up what you're putting down for them.
Absolutely. You know, granted, it's our full-time job, right? Like, we do it, but we're really fortunate to work in something that we love, and I get to work with my brother, and we've got an incredible team you know, behind us. We've got an absolute killer of an individual. Maria Dietz works with us as well. She came out of Shell and is now working in our program, so it's really cool. And it's nice to, one, to be able to employ people. I think that's, you know, the thing that I'm kind of proudest about. And two, we've got this legacy project kind of going here in the city where we're, you know, we're impacting young people and you know, impacting the community. And at the same time, you know, it's our day to day, and we get, you know, we get to work in that environment. So we're really proud of that as well.
That's so awesome. Let's talk a little bit about golf. I met you on the golf course.
Tell me
a bit about your love for the game and how did you get involved in golf?
My love, recently my hatred for the game. I started playing. My uncle's been a member up here, Bob Mainwaring, forever. I started playing under him. I think I really kind of got into it when I was in college. So, you know, just I bought my first set of golf clubs off of Kate Wagner was her name at the University of Denver, and she was she was on the golf team. She golfed at DU, and I needed a set of clubs, so I bought my first set of clubs off of her, and it was awesome. You know, I got into it right away and really enjoyed it, and then, you know, it sort of transitioned for me when I was back at home and I was in Calgary, you know, more frequently. It just became, you know, a big part of, you know, sort of my weeks in the summer. And I love the Country Hills Golf Course. It's fantastic. They treat me really well. And, you know, we've got a good crew of guys up here playing. So it's been fun. It's really challenged, you know, now that I'm getting a little bit older. It's really, it's helped me develop a little bit more patience. You know, there's when I lose to certain guys on the golf course, you can't knock them out. You got to you got to shake their hands and you know, go your separate ways. But it's been good for me from a pro development perspective in terms of mentality. And then at the same time, it's just been great to, you know, get to know new guys like yourself and spend time up here at the course. It's a great time.
One of the guys we had on our first episode was your buddy Ron Dahl.
Yep.
And Ron said that the best round of golf he ever had was playing with you. I don't know if you saw that, but that's what he did. So quick, humble shout out to Ron.
Well, that's just because he doesn't want to lose to me, not because I'm like, I'm not bringing his game up by any means. He just doesn't want to lose. So I think I'll take that. If there's guys that are out here and they love to beat me, then I'll take that.
That's funny. That's all right. So the new nine brand is all about overcoming obstacles, learning from your mistakes. Can you think of anything on the golf course? Have you had your own new nine experience?
Oh God. I think I've got my new nine, meaning like I play great on the front and I'm just terrible on the back. So you know, I'm sure that there's, you know, there's different iterations for, you know, for the name. But yeah, you know, it's funny. I shot yesterday. I was a 45 front, 38 back. You know, it is what it is. The other day I was a 37 front, you know, 45 back.
Right.
So, you know, it's polarizing. I think it's really challenging. The brand name's interesting because I think the whole idea would be to put together a rock solid 18 and you're kind of never out of it. But, you know, I think every time I cross over, I'm never like two really bad back to back nines, and I'm usually so mad at myself, or I've taken a phone call or I've answered an email I'm not focused in what I'm doing. And, you know, lately we've been putting some money on things, so it's been a little bit more heated and a little bit more more interesting. But, you know, for me, I think the biggest thing, the biggest swing that I think of is whenever you cross over and you have that sort of moment where you can kind of chill out and reflect, and, you know, you get to put what's done is done behind you. It reflects your game positively. So yesterday we were out and playing with a couple of guys and just was garbage on the front. Hit drives really well, but everything else was just, I seemed to want to collect my strokes. But on the back, played well and ended up winning, and it was great.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Golf's such a funny game that you can put so many hours into it and you might only see one or two good shots, but you continue to come back, you keep working out the kinks, and you got to still enjoy the game. That's why we're all out here, right?
Absolutely. It's been fun for me. There's a lot of, like, I separated my shoulder last year and had to, I crashed mountain biking, separated my shoulder, and right before that, shot the best round that I ever played. So I was a 71 and went away for the weekend, crashed my mountain bike, and then I broke an 80 a couple of times since.
That's frustrating.
So I've had to really fix things because of that injury. I've had to sort of change my swing and now it's coming back, and you get into some really bad habits when you're coming off injury.
Right.
Did really well, came off of an Achilles injury, started golfing well again, went into a shoulder separation, and now I'm starting to get it back together again. So I'm in a whole new nine in the tail end of my golf career.
Yeah, fair enough. Can you think of a new nine experience maybe in life or maybe in your lacrosse career that, you know, you were down and out and you were able to persevere? And
yeah, I think, going back, I think we kind of run into those with our Team Canada sort of events. We won in 2006. We lost in 2010. We should have won. And all these games that we played, like, really close, we should be in them. And, a couple of mistakes, a couple of bounces here or there, you really kind of remember a couple of moments. And I think the one for us was we lost Chris Anderson, who was a big part of the 2010 team. He played, it's a great story. He took time off of chemotherapy and radiation to get healthy enough to play for Team Canada in 2010. It was incredibly inspirational, and we ended up losing. That was super hard. And then in 2014, there was that sort of a bitter taste in your mouth, and we ended up going out and playing really well and winning, back in Denver. And then just recently we were in Israel and got, a pretty controversial end to our final game in Netanya, and now we got to bounce back again. So, it's sort of been that way for the last, better part of, for three quarters of a decade with the Canadian team is just, winning and then losing and then winning and then losing. And it's sort of like, that's kind of the way that, you guys have built your brand, but it's definitely an experience that's stuck with me, is that you don't learn anything from being successful. You only learn things from failing and battling adversity, and, a testament to the brand and what you guys are doing, and, the investigating that you guys are doing with respect to, what embodies your brand is very much what, growing is all about. And so we try to implement that in our teaching for our kids, and we carry that on our shoulders with respect to the community, and we embrace adversity as much as possible,
right?
To continue to develop and get better.
That's awesome. Jeff, I really appreciate you sitting down with me. I know you got a tea time to run to.
You got it.
But I really do appreciate it. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast and the YouTube channel. And we'll let you get to your tea time. Normal circumstances, I'll shake your hand. We'll leave that one out. We'll do the virtual handshake.
No problem.
I really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Anytime, if I can do anything for you, let me know.
Appreciate it.
You got it.
Stay tuned. Check out our website, new9golf.com. See what hats are in stock, and do your best to support the golf community. Thanks so much.